Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Today I'm joined by Justin Devel, a Managing Director at Receptional.com. Hello, Justin.
Hi there, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, apart from my slightly sexy voice, because I'm just coming off the tail end of a cold here. So I'm doing lots of gritty film voiceovers, I wish.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure the money's not as good doing this as it would be doing film voiceovers.
Right, so yeah, Receptional.com, I mean, you've been helping people sort of navigate through the fallout of being caught by these various, sort of algorithm changes on Google and things, but tell us a bit about yourself and tell us a slightly better story of what Receptional do.
Oh, of course. Well, Receptional has been around since 1999, so we were founded in the same year as Google. And we've been doing SEO and PPC ever since. Obviously, we're not quite as large as they are, but we've got a lot of years' experience in the industry. You're asking about the kind of some of the algorithm changes. Mm. I think it's about 500 changes a year or something that they make at the moment. But some of the most important a couple of years ago was Penguin when that rolled out. I think we were the first agency to help a client recover from a Penguin algorithm penalty. Mm. And it was a client that had come to us. We were 3 days into working with them, and they suddenly all of their traffic disappeared. So they're a brand new client, and the first thing that happens is all of their traffic goes. Wow. So we had to spend quite a bit of time investigating what that penalty was and where it had come from. And at the time, it didn't even have a name. No one even had called it Penguin. It was just something that Google was doing. And so we did help that site recover, and that gave us an enormous amount of experience. I think it was a big national retailer, and so they got tens of thousands of links coming into its site. And at that stage, we just had to go through them all manually, one after the other. So you learn an awful lot about the site and about what causes a penalty at that point. And so since then, we've helped a number of sites that have come to us and have been affected by penalties. Wow. And so far, we've got 100% success rate. Some take a little bit longer than others, but I think we've got quite a good process now for helping sites recover.
You've kind of grown up with Google then, haven't you?
Me personally, no, I'm a little bit older than that, I'm afraid.
I mean, as a company.
But certainly as a company, yes. I mean, I've been in digital, well, not digital marketing, in marketing. I started off in direct marketing when I first left university, sending out mail shots and kind of testing marketing campaigns, working in the publishing industry. And that's kind of a great background for learning about digital, because a lot of the techniques that you pick up there apply just as well online.
Yeah. Now, Justin, I wanted to focus today's show on link building, different ways of link building. What are the tactics that are working in link building right now, in the light of these recent Google algorithm changes?
Link building has changed an enormous amount over the last couple of years. If anything, kind of the changes that Google are introducing, both in SEO and in PPC, mean that I think probably digital marketing and SEO and PPC have changed as much over the last 18 months or so as at any point in their history. And for lots of people, that means that some of the link building techniques and tactics that they've been using have had to change. There's been an enormous number of agencies were affected by the Penguin updates and have had to change their tactics. None of Receptional's clients have ever been hit by a Google penalty. Well, that's given us an advantage over the last couple of years, just because some of the tactics that we've been using all along have now come into their own, and we've got a good understanding of kind of the people and techniques. And so, what I wanted to do today was just to outline a number of a number of the approaches that we take in terms of our link building, because despite all the talk about, you know, content marketing and how important content is, and of course it is, it's also about promoting that content and getting other sites to link to you and demonstrating that you're demonstrating to Google that you're, you know, a popular and authoritative member of the online community.
Yeah. So these are strategies that you can use to sort of be able to do effective link building in the light of recent Google changes. Let's start with the first one then.
What I was interested in was kind of trying to pick a number of different tactics, some of which apply to B2B and some which will apply to, you know, to more consumer markets. And so the first one is competitions. So we've been running a number of competitions for some of our clients, and these can be an incredibly cost-effective way of getting publicity. So there's an example that we ran for a client recently in which we encouraged people to win a chocolate pizza.
A chocolate pizza?
Now, I didn't even know that chocolate pizzas existed, but they're not quite as disgusting as they sound, but I still haven't tried one. But it was great in terms of just that idea of a chocolate pizza, and it got people quite excited, and they were tweeting about it, and it got people very interested in that as a competition. And so we ran that for a client. And there's a number of advantages of running a competition, and you can really do it in two ways. One is you can do it on your own site and get other people to link to you because there's a competition going on that where you've got a prize that people will want to win. Or you can run it in conjunction with a partner. And so if you're kind of a smaller business, but you've got something valuable you can offer, it's well worth tapping into other people's traffic and authority by offering something for free. So there's a couple of different ways that we can run that. And that's worked very successfully. And as always, in the link building methods that we use, we always ask the question, you know, is this something that we would want to do for the sake of the business, even if there were no SEO advantage? Mm. And, you know, that's the sort of thing where it's really about attracting people to the top of the marketing funnel. So it's getting your brand awareness out there and getting people to come into your site. But that's been working successfully for us over the last few months.
Well, I would be intrigued to see a chocolate pizza. Did you see it in the end?
I've got some pictures of it here in front of me, and it looks terrible in a picture. But we had one in the office, and it doesn't look so bad. It's basically chocolate rather than pizza, and, okay. And there can never be anything wrong with that.
No, that's all.
So that's kind of the first sort of technique that we've been working with that's been going well, and it's very, you know, as I say, it's very kind of top of the funnel. So it's about raising brand awareness.
Okay, brilliant. So that's competitions.
Yes. Yeah. And so then another area that we've been working on, which is much more B2B, is surveys.
Yeah.
And creating, when I used to work, my first job after graduating was working at Data Monitor. And really that whole business at Data Monitor is about conducting surveys, creating market research, and making news stories and reports out of it. And so we can still apply those to almost any sort of business, except that nowadays, 20 years on, it's much easier to collect survey data. And so if you've got a reasonable size business with a customer base, it's possible to, you know, ask them questions and find out, yeah, you know, what your customers are thinking and turn that into information that can create good news stories. Or if you don't have such a big customer base, then there's kind of research companies out there that will survey a number of people for you. It's a bit more expensive, but there's actually some cost effective ways of doing that nowadays that make it a tactic that can be applied to kind of, you know, very small sites as well as larger ones.
Yeah. So this feels like the previous one, quite top of the funnel. Is that right?
Yes. I would say it is. So that you're kind of you're creating publicity for the brand. Mm. But if you can create a good news story because you've got some proprietary information, then that can get a lot of coverage. So, for example, we were working with a disability website, and so we ran a survey about people's attitudes to disability and kind of what were the problems that people felt frustrated about in town centres in terms of people getting around and mobility, and that got quite a lot of coverage. And so then, that, you know, that's getting national press, trade press, you know, and obviously you need the kind of the contacts in place to be able to talk to some of those people. But if the story is strong enough, then it will get coverage and publicity. And so then that gets your name and your brand out there, but it also gets you some really nice links from, you know, strong authoritative publications.
Interesting stuff.
And so again, that's the sort of thing that can apply both to B2B and B2C as well.
So that's like a sort of hybrid that will work for both business and clients, consumers.
Yes, I think it's finding the angle and the right questions to ask. I think is the key to making that successful and having a large enough pool of people who are willing to respond to you.
Fantastic. So that's surveys.
The next tactic, I suppose, is more B2C for kind of for retailers. And that's kind of really about blogger reach, blogger outreach, and product reviews is something that's working particularly well for us at the moment. It does rely upon you having a product, a physical product that you can send out to people for them to review. So there's lots of businesses that we work with, for example, you know, insurance or, you know, conceptual products, and it doesn't really work there. But if you've got a product that you can, it needs to be relatively inexpensive, but it can be sent out to people, then we've got a good network of bloggers that we've worked with over the years, and we can always find appropriate people to kind of review those products. And again, that's about creating some favorable publicity, but it allows people not just to kind of look at the product that they're reviewing, but also the whole area of customer service and delivery and all that kind of thing, and to be able to review the whole brand experience. And so that's kind of a tactic that's working well. And yeah, again, it's not about going out to people for the sake of the links. It's kind of finding authoritative sites where you would want to be mentioned anyway that are relevant to your brand, and getting in touch with those people and getting to review your product.
It's an interesting area, this, actually, isn't it? This is a form of content marketing. I've spoken to quite a few people who review products. There's always this slightly tricky thing of, do you kind of, say, for example, a company gave you something to review and said you can keep it. Do you mention that, or do you not? Do you sort of hide the fact and still speak highly about it? Have you ever encountered much about this?
My feeling is that, you know, and I worked in publishing for a number of years, where the editorial guidelines before the internet were pretty strict about this kind of thing, and you had to distinguish between what was, what was paid for and what was not paid for. And yeah, I think that's a good rule to stick with. And I'm perfectly happy if someone is reviewing a product that they disclose exactly where they've got that product from and whether they paid for it or not. You know, it's the same thing as restaurant reviewers writing in a paper, isn't it? You know, yeah, that you want to know that they've paid for their own meal and that they're not in hock to that restaurant for anything in the future, and that you get a kind of a fair and accurate assessment of their experience. And it's exactly the same thing online.
Yeah, but nevertheless, a very powerful technique.
I think, you know, this disclosure and honesty is absolutely the right way forward.
Okay, so that's blogger outreach, product reviews. What's the next one?
And so then I thought let's talk a little bit about some of the kind of the social media that we've been doing. Often the kind of people put these different activities in separate areas, don't they? So kind of social media and link building and SEO and PPC are all entirely separate. But, you know, our link building team has been having some fantastic success using Twitter.
Yep.
To reach out to people and get in touch with them. And so kind of we're collecting a number of different hashtags that kind of people are reacting to very well. And I think it's really well worth, if you're involved in marketing, kind of starting to kind of record some of the hashtags that are working for you. And so, for example, we had a campaign that we were running recently around pets. Yep. And obviously there's a clear social media angle on that. But by using Twitter, we were able to get, you know, hundreds of responses of people who'd kind of got pet blogs or were in the pet industry, you know, and wanted to get involved in a campaign that we were running. And so that sort of thing is working incredibly well. And it's one of those things where, you know, we when we started testing it, I was a little bit cynical, as I often am about anything new. Yeah. And actually it worked fantastically well. And so often I had to eat my words about it. And the link building team, you know, have had some fantastic results off simply, you know, reaching out to people on Twitter.
Twitter's very real time, isn't it? I mean, how do you cope with that? Or how do you leverage that?
Then I think it's about being able to react in the moment. And I think you're right. What'll happen is you'll put out a tweet and you may then get, you know, 100 responses, and you need to get back to those people really quickly. So I think it's just being prepared that everyone in the team knows that that's what you're going to do. And if everyone then needs to kind of lend a hand in terms of responding to people, then it's just being able to react in that way quite quickly. Because you're right, you don't want to be kind of letting people, you don't want people to be responding to you and then not getting back to them, you know, in a fairly short time space.
So presumably you have to put sort of various guidelines in place, don't you, about how you, the language that you use and sort of how you respond to people.
In terms of the team here, you mean in terms of representing our brand and the client?
That's right, yeah, the internal team, yes. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, we do have some guidelines in place, but I think we're not using Twitter on a day to day basis in that way. So we're not kind of managing the client's whole social media campaign. We'll put out one or two tweets in which we're asking for specific things, people to participate in a particular campaign.
Fantastic. And I think you had one more, didn't you, Justin?
So I did. And the final one was kind of was probably slightly more controversial, and that was kind of guest posting. Because there was a lot of talk last year, wasn't there, about guest posting, you know, dying as
is guest posting dead?
Promotional method. Yes. And it was a response to a post that Matt Cutzer put up on his personal blog saying that Google was really going to crack down on guest posting. And so, of course, everyone read that post. And in the first edition of the post, that's exactly what Matt Cutzer said. He said that guest posting was going to die. There was such a furore there that he went back and edited the article and made it slightly clearer.
Right.
And I think one of the things, as I said earlier, one of the rules that we have is we will say, is there a good business reason for, you know, for doing this marketing activity without, even if we weren't interested in SEO? And guest posting, I know from my days, you know, back in the publishing industry, is something that's been going on for years and years and years, and trying to cultivate thought leadership in offline publications was happening well before the internet was around. And so it's a good old-fashioned marketing technique that can still work well. And the sort of thing that I think Matt Cutts was trying to cut down on was the kind of the software that goes out there, rewrites an article 100 different ways, and then publishes that article automatically on a number of completely automated sites where there's no human interaction for the sake of building links. And, you know, quite frankly, that's the right thing to be doing. You know, that's just creating shit on the internet, and nobody wants to see that.
No, absolutely not.
But guest posting on authoritative sites where you're creating an interesting story, you know, perhaps with your own primary research, or, you know, where you've got something unique to say, I still think is a very strong tactic, you know, and that's something that's been working successfully for us in B2B markets, particularly where you've got to educate clients about your product. Because a lot of the time in B2B markets, people are doing something innovative and there isn't huge amounts of search traffic there because no one's heard of their product or their service yet. And so we've really got to kind of generate that traffic and that interest, and guest posting can be a fantastic way of doing that, and it ties in much more with kind of traditional marketing methods, but they can then be applied online and we can generate the sort of authority that Google wants to see for the website.
Five great techniques there, Justin. I'm kind of interested in budgets. What sort of budgets can these be done on?
So for some of the techniques, then, for example, running a competition, it's the cost of a chocolate pizza, you know, plus the time that's involved in then promoting that campaign. And I would say with most of those campaigns, it's not about huge amounts of money being involved. It's about the time and the energy and resources that you need to commit to it, about trying to create a message that's unique and authoritative.
You also mentioned on a few of them that some were more inclined towards business to client, to B2C, some of them were more B2B. Is there a general sort of difference in approach between B2B and B2C?
Yes, I think I was touching upon it when I talked about guest posting, wasn't I? And kind of in B2B markets, the audience is often very much more tightly defined. And so it may be that there's only a few hundred people in the world that you're targeting. And so it's much more about kind of researching the audience and finding out where those people may be reading online, and having a much clearer sense of who it is that you want to be speaking to. And then tailoring the content and spending more time tailoring the content specifically to that audience. So, for example, we've got a client that's a software provider, and not huge amounts of people have heard of their product. And so, what we do is we spend a lot of time writing articles that educate people so they understand how that software works and what the benefits are of using it. And that's very different to kind of promoting chocolate pizzas.
Well, Justin, five very useful techniques there. I'm sure our listeners will find those useful. How can we all find out more about you and more about Receptional?
Then the easiest way is to go to www.receptional.com, or if you want to have a conversation, then just email me at justin@receptional.com. I'm happy to chat with anybody.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. You can find the show notes at sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher. We have an email, podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. If you want to call us and leave a message or a question, it's +441273256150. And we'll see you all next time. So it's goodbye from me, Andy, and it's goodbye from Justin.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.